Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Lance did this. Donovan Jackson, the guard from Ohio State, is joining us right now. A real possibility for your Houston Texans at number 25. Donovan, welcome and congratulations on your success at Ohio State, the Natty, and what you guys did this past year and in these past few years. Welcome into the show. Let's talk first about this whole draft process and what it's like for you as a guy. How anxious are you as we close in on Thursday right now?
Yeah, so the draft process, outside looking in, you would think of it as, you know, combine pro day than you're drafted, but there's so much that goes into it, so much that, you know, from the time you stop playing and you declare from when you get drafted, you have your medicals, your Zoom meetings, your 30 visits, your everything. And so the draft process for me has been really fun because, you know, you have teams who are interested and they want to fly you out to, like, make sure, like, they get to know you more and you get to know them. So it's like putting a face to a name instead of hearing about you. So it's been really fun for sure, but, you know, I'm trying to figure out where I'm playing. So that's what I'm worried about right now.
Can't control that, though, can you? I mean, that's got to be the crazy part is you want to know who likes you. You want to know where you're playing. Maybe you read mock drafts. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I guess you're just going to have to wait and sweat it out like everyone else on Thursday night.
Yeah, you know, I was told the only person I really who knows where they're going is the number one pick. After that, everyone else kind of fills in where they fit in. So, you know, I have ideas of where I might go, but, you know, those are only ideas. The draft shifts and moves. People trade up, people trade down. So you never really know until you get the phone call.
I talked to a general manager about you, I guess it was Saturday afternoon, and we were talking about the guards in this draft, and his comment was, and I've got you as my high. I do the draft write-ups for NFL.com, and I wrote up, I've got you graded as the top guard in this draft. And he was kind of the same mind that your name's not being mentioned enough and that he thought you were the best as well. Do you pay attention to what's being said publicly? Do you pay attention to the mock drafts? Do you pay attention to the TV shows with draft analysts on them? Is that something you pay attention to personally or no?
Yeah, you know, it's hard not to look at it. You know, I try not to, but, you know, I have social media, I have a phone, so it comes across my feed sometimes. And, look, you know, would I love to get recognized more for what I'm doing? Sure, but, you know, if linemen's getting noticed, it's probably not for a good thing. So, you know, the teams do their research, you know, organizations do their research, and I'm just looking forward to going to, you know, whoever drafts me.
What have you talked to with the Texans? What have you talked about?
Yeah, they were my last 30 visit, which is really, really ironic because, you know, I'm from Cyprus, so I had the 30 visit there and they just drove me home. But it was perfect. But I would say just talking to Coach Ryan, talking to Coach Popovich and Coach Kaylee, and just talking to them and see how, you know, how they operate, and trying to talk ball with them and have me verbalize it back to see how I retain knowledge. Talking to everyone in that building was kind of a dream come true because, you know, I grew up going to NRG Stadium all the time and kind of seeing, like, the behind-the-scenes look and where everything is in relation to, like, you know, where the field is. It was very cool. It was very fun to, you know, meet everybody and talk some ball.
What did you – you didn't get to talk to CJ. How cool would it be to be back home playing and protecting CJ every Sunday?
Man, it'd be amazing. You know, when CJ was at Ohio State, he was a huge part of my process. And even when I was deciding to leave or not my junior year, But one of the people I texted was CJ because I needed his advice, and he gave me great advice on, you know, whether to stay, whether to go. But, you know, it'd be great. You know, he's a great friend of mine, obviously an amazing player. So he would make my life easier, it's certainly as offensive lineman.
So in watching you during the season, we all watched, our producer Dell watched a ton of college football. John watches a ton. I watch a ton, and then I go back and watch tape and write it up, which is different than on TV. You're a very athletic guard. You stepped out and played tackle when you had injuries to not just Josh Simmons, but the backup tackle as well. So you went out and played left tackle as well. What do you think of that experience of playing tackle? You've got tackle and guard experience. What do you think of the experience of playing tackle? How does that benefit you for teams looking to draft you?
I feel like it brings overall versatility to my game. You know, most teams see me as interior because that's where I played for about 2.5 years. But, you know, other teams are like, hey, like, we see you have the ability to play tackle, because it wasn't like I was blocking, you know, bad ends. Like, I was blocking some of the best ends in the country at tackle. And so, and then even when I was, even now that I'm like, have the experience of playing tackle, every defense runs a sack man package or rushman package where they put like 4 DNs on the line of scrimmage. And so it just brings more like comfort to my game that, hey, like, he has experience blocking those type of rushers.
Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. Tackle experience inside a guard. And this is a Houston Texans team that frankly needs substantially better pass protection along the interior. I want to ask you about when you lost to Michigan. I want to take you back there because we know how the season ended, which is a national championship. Man, that was strange watching from the outside. People calling for the head of the head coach and the disappointment I'm sure you guys felt were losing to Michigan again for the third year in a row. I think it was 3 years in a row. Maybe it's four. But to go from there to the dominance that you guys showed in the postseason, can you take us to what happened in that locker room afterwards and how you guys were ready to play like you did once you hit that Tennessee game in the first playoff game?
Yeah, obviously that wasn't a fun time to be a Buckeye, though, that week stretch after the game. But once the playoffs were announced, we had a team meeting after the game, and it was player-led. All the coaches stepped up, Coach Day stayed in, and we basically just let everything out. Like, we called guys out, we talked about it, and then at the end of it, we came together as a team. And then I would say one of our safeties, Lathan Ransom, he basically mapped out the trajectory of the playoffs. He said, we're going to beat Tennessee. We're going to go out west. We're going to beat Oregon. We're going to go down to Texas, play Texas, beat them. And we're going to play whoever in the Natty. He said, if you don't think we're a national championship winning team, it's time to get out. You better start thinking like it. And at that point, guys, like, I wouldn't say bought back in, but had a new sense of pride and focus and what they were doing. And so we knew on paper we were a better team, but it's more than just paper. We had to go out there and prove it. And so the coaches put us in the right position to succeed, but it was up to us to execute the plays. So a lot of credit to every guy, all the guys on the team, and we got after it in the playoffs.
Donovan Jackson, Ohio State guard and tackle, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What other teams have shown a lot of interest in you?
I would say I've been on 30 visits, like the top 30 visits you go on. I've been to Philly, Tennessee, Minnesota, Vegas, the Giants, and then the Texans. And so I would say off of that, I would say that interest. I mean, at the combine, you have your formal interviews, and I have like a handful of those. But I think the 30 visits are pretty up there.
Tell us about a formal. Oh, go ahead, John.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Well, I'm curious. Tell us what a 40 visit. I mean, what a formal visit in combine. We got to see Keon Coleman famously had one with the Bills, and we got to see some of that. And when we get some insight and some looks into them, they look really, really interesting. Can you tell us about one of your more interesting ones? Can you take us inside the suite there where you meet, or inside the tunnels or the bowels of the of Lucas Oil, wherever it is that you meet these teams, and what the conversations are like? Like, how does it go?
Yeah, so at the combine, you have your formal visits and you have your informal visits. Your formal visits are in the suites of Lucas Oil, and every team has a suite, and you have a set schedule. So every team can only like have a certain number of guys in the process come into their suite. But you basically interview, every team's different, but you basically go in, and there's your position coach, your coordinator, the head coach, the GM, and a whole bunch of scouts around, and they're usually recording it. And they basically either they could install plays really quickly and you have to verbalize it back, or they could just ask about your life, or they can just watch your film and you have to say what you did and why you did it. And they all have 20 minutes to do so before you have to move on to the next room. And so they can get pretty intense. You know, they can get on you because they're just trying. They have 20 minutes to figure out like who you are mentally as a football player. Like everyone already knows physically because that's all film. But they're trying to figure out, can you process information? Can you verbalize like what you're doing and why you did it?
Donovan Jackson here. How are you with all these visits and everything going on, combine, everything else that was going has been going on in your life? How do you keep working out? I mean, it's got to hit, cut into your schedule of what you've been wanting to do physically.
Yeah, that was a huge point of emphasis for going on these 30 visits, because there are times where I only had six, but there are guys who have twice as much. And so you got to have hotel workouts. So Ohio State, they sent us a hotel workout program because a lot of us are going on visits, because a huge part is staying in shape, because as soon as you're drafted, you go right into camp. And so, like, all the teams I went to, one thing they all said was, hey, when you're drafted, you better be in shape, because you go straight into playing football again. It's not some long break. And so just trying to, you know, keep that edge, stay in shape, so when I get there, I'm not, like, you know, not in shape.
And that's, I mean, it is a grind, the whole process. Yeah. You guys played as late as anyone. So I don't think a lot of people realize it knocks you out of consideration for Senior Bowl. So that's a chance, an all-star game that most people are preparing for Senior Bowl invites. They're with their trainers at Exos or wherever. And then they, you know, and then you got to get ready for the combine. Well, you guys went so deep that I know a lot of guys from Ohio State, for example, did not, and actually a lot of the playoff teams didn't even work out at the combine because they needed more time for preparation. And then you go right into your 30 visits, and you have your own pro days that you're getting ready for. Like, this has been a run for you, Donovan. I'm thinking from August till April has been almost nonstop. Have you had any kind of break?
No, I've had no break. It's essentially from August to January, won the championship. I flew out from Columbus, I think, 4 days after. That's when we had, like, the trophy presentation. I flew out the very next day at 11 in the morning, and I was working out the very next day. And from there, I was training, trying to get my body right, because, you know, coming off a long season, there's going to be some aches and some pains in your body. So, you know, staying on top of that, lifting. And then as soon as I went to the combine, I only did drills there, came back, and then just training, flew back to Columbus for pro day. And then, like, the day after pro day, I flew out to my first 30 visit, and that's what I've been doing since. So my last 30 visit was on the 15th, and since then I've come home, and, like, now I'm just working out in preparation for the draft.
You're here in Cyprus?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but he went to Episcopal. What was that drive like every morning?
That was terrible.
Yeah.
That was not a fun drive.
That sucks.
How did Coach
What'd you
Lease,
learn from a,
how did Coach ahead, Lease get you over to Episcopal from Cyprus?
Man, he ran a program that was really attracted to, like, a young high school recruit, and he had college coaches going in and out every day. You know, he had great pedigree with recruiting in terms of, you know, he had Jalen Waddle, Walker Little, Marvin Wilson, and tons of other guys who came through there. And so when I was going through my high school process, the zone school I was going to, I didn't really want to go there. But and so one of my family friends, his son went to EHS. So he's like, hey, like, why don't you go check this place out and see what you think? So I toured it, talked to Coach Lee, and I was like, yeah, I want to come here.
That's great. That is great. Did you beat Kincaid every year or no?
Beat him twice, I think.
Twice? Two and two against Kincaid?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a great rivalry. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, man, we are going to be rooting for you.
But I got to ask him one quick question, John. I saw he has a 32-inch vertical leap at his pro day. Can you dunk?
Yeah, I can dunk.
Better be with 32.
More offensive linemen that can dunk.
There ain't a whole lot of
them. And protect quarterback. Protect quarterback and dunk is kind of what I'm looking
two
for.
Two things you got to do. Two things.
Are you excited about being in Houston? What do you do when you're here? Do you go visit family? You go to restaurants that you love? Like, what do you do when you get back home like this?
Man, I'm trying to relax. I've been nonstop since the end of the season, so I'm, you know, see family and lay on the couch, work out.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And where's your best eating places here?
Best eating places? Man, Pingrington's Barbecue, any of the Papados, love those. I mean, I've been in Columbus for so long, I had to go to Whataburger immediately.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a good Texas boy still. We're still Texas. Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
That's absolutely. Absolutely.
And Pinkerton. Yeah, Grant Pinkerton does great barbecue.
Yeah, they do.
Good
yeah.
choices. Papado, all of them.
Absolutely. Hey, Donovan, best of luck, man. We're going to be rooting for you, man. It'll be so great if the Texans take you. And if they do, come on back on. We want to talk about it.
Wherever you go, good luck. Yeah. We're cheering for you on Thursday. If it doesn't happen on Thursday, it's going to happen early on Friday. And we're looking forward to watching you during your career.
Thank you.
All right. There he is, Donovan Jackson, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hopefully the Texans do take him. That would be great. That would be great to have a hometown guy.
He can dunk.
Yeah, I mean, what a dream come true. What a dream come true for a guy who, you know, roots for the Texans mm-hmm. his whole life to be able to come and play there. That'd be awesome. Awesome. All right. We're breaking it. Champion Energy is something he should know about. I think anybody yet. I don't care where you are. As a matter of fact, guy from Cyprus, my buddy from Cyprus, he switched over to Champion Energy, and he was like, yes, this is ridiculous how much money I am saving now as compared to what I was. And it went from month to month. What he was paying with the other electricity company, the very next month he was like, holy crap, it's real. The savings are real. It is, and it is real. And if you're looking for a great way to save money every single month, I've been with Champion, I think, for about 17 years now. I just love what they've done for me. So easy, never mistakes. The only time I ever had to call them was when I moved to change addresses. That's it. Champion.energy/1560. You're looking for a great way to save some money on your electricity every month. Champion.energy/1560.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Very impressive young man, Donovan Jackson.
Yeah, he's sharp, man. He can play two positions if you need him to in a pinch. He could slide out to tackle and get you out of a game. Art does ask an interesting question, though. Please ask Donovan Jackson how long did it take him to get past Ryan Day's really black beard and not stare at it. That beard is unusually dark.
It is.
It's not natural. It is dyed, and it is hard to ignore. He's not wrong.
Like you know when
it is hard to ignore.
When the Cowboys won their first Super Bowl, was it Emmitt who mussed up Jimmy's hair at the end of that?
Yeah.
So once they finally won their elusive title, should anyone have either asked a question about his beard as an outgoing senior or just said, hey, coach, give him a number to an actual stylist to take care of that? Like, as you leave the facility, get that in, because it would bother some people, right? Someone in that program has to be bothered by the darkness of that beard.
Well, they would say it probably with a loving jab.
Yeah.
It's probably
Emmitt mussed up Jimmy's hair. That was all fun. But as you're walking out, coach, I mean, coach, come on. What are we doing
that
here?
That thing's supposed to have some gray in it, bro.
Or maybe don't go so dark.
Right. Well, how about Mike Krzyzewski's hair all those years?
Well, what Duke
Not
player?
A gray hair on his head. He was 78 years old.
Yeah, but he kept it real. Like, he stayed
how
on
real?
Top of it. It didn't change. What didn't change colors? He stayed the same. Like, it wasn't off-putting because it stayed. Ryan Day went, it got darker.
Yeah, Ryan Gray was a gray beard, and then he went.
Well, then.
It was very awesome.
That's
do you remember
all.
When Colin Cowherd
Keith Hernandez.
Went from? Do you remember when Colin Cowherd went from ESPN to Fox FX or whatever?
Yeah.
Or Fox Sports FX1. Do you remember that there was a big deal made that he dyed his hair like brown? He changed his hair, and people were flipping out. Like, what in the world? is Colin doing? His hair is substantially browner. It was, and it just was so off-putting. It just threw people off.
Are you saying?
Eventually, I'm just going to shave off all my hair, but I'm waiting because I already know, like, it's just going to be such a different look that I'm just going to keep delaying and putting it. I'll just keep wearing a hat for a while.
Why don't you get a Caesar?
A Caesar?
You should.
Go to I have a bloody
nose?
Go
to a black barber.
Hold on.
Or Mark Davis.
He's got a bloody nose now.
I'm not getting a Mark Davis.
Go to a black barber.
Mark Davis would be totally sweet.
Get a bowl, but get yourself a a high taper, Lance. But he has a bloody nose. He had to walk off camera.
He's got a bloody nose?
Yeah, he's bleeding out of his
what
nose.
What did he do?
I don't know. Maybe less humidity there. I don't know what's up with his nose. I don't know, but he's got a bloody nose. The change in humidity has messed with him. But Lance will be back at some point. He's got to take care of blood dripping all over himself.
Let's get Eric in here in the meantime. What's going on, Eric?
Yeah, I think Lance would look good in an Edgar cut. But how do you think Forrest Whitley did last night? And how do you feel about Gunther choking out Pat McAfee last night on WWE Raw? And also, Bill, can we stop deporting thick Latinas? Well, I'll hang up and listen.
Well, that's Eric. I don't have any say in whether thick Latinas get deported. Why are you asking me?
In the world?
I don't have any power.
Well, I mean, maybe you could do
Sir,
something.
We have many new listeners listening right now. Do you want them to think that this show is about deporting thick Latinas?
We can't speak to what a caller's going to say. I will tell him I don't have any say in what happens.
What? Yeah.
He also
Pat McAfee.
I mean, many people on the show are not in favor of that happening, by the way.
Pat McAfee. I saw the videos of him getting choked out. Who cares?
It's wrestling.
It's just wrestling.
Did you see the video of Paul Heyman going after him on his own show?
Yeah.
Did y'all see that?
What? It's wrestling.
No. He was like, no. This is on the Pat McAfee show. He was saying some embarrassing stuff about Pat.
Paul Heyman?
About saying he was trash-talking Stephen A. Smith and the network. And Pat McAfee is trying to get him to chill out. Like, I don't think this was, what is it called in wrestling, a shoot or whatever, where you go off script and do something you're not supposed to do?
I don't know.
This was like, I don't think, Pat McAfee was not happy about this one. At all. If you get a chance to listen to it, you should search for it, because he was basically saying Pat was hogging all the weed. Like, hey, it's called puff puff pass, not puff 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 puff.
Well, John Cena said that too. Like, Pat McAfee's always high when he's doing that when he's doing the wrestling gig.
Yeah,
he said that on the show yesterday.
You're outside
too.
You said Stephen A. Smith. You said if they don't pay me exactly what Stephen A. Smith is, I'm leaving. And because you told. Remember you told me when we were smoking, you said ESPN could suck it and they could do that. He's like, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Stop. I didn't say that. And he just kept going and going. And I was thinking, oh, look, somebody take a little shot back at Pat McAfee, making him uncomfortable.
It's been an interesting 24 hours for ESPN personalities. Shannon Sharpe was accused of something ugly.
$50 million lawsuit?
And yes, and then he responded with letting it be known what type of text he was getting from that woman.
See, that's the thing. We're in a different time, because most lawyers would have said, don't say. Oh, and Tony Busby brought that text.
Yes, Tony Busby brought the
lawsuit, by the way. Did you know that Busby's involved in that one, too? It's like Tony's found a new cottage industry.
Well, he went after Jay-Z and did not win that one. And Jay-Z is going to countersue Tony.
Yeah, that one could get a little, that one could get a little messy. But, yeah, he's representing the lady who brought – and at this point, they're probably seeking out Tony, because Tony's now the face of these big public lawsuits of sports figures. But usually a lawyer would say, yeah, just don't say anything publicly. We're not going to comment. I had no doubt Shannon Sharpe was going to come out and immediately comment. There was never a doubt in my mind.
John, have you seen the texts that were sent from the woman to Shannon? Shannon didn't release – through his lawyer's written up thing. He didn't release what he said back, but have you seen any?
It's a good idea. I like to avoid those stuff.
Yeah.
So she said, yeah, I did this, and I say, whatever. Is it going to go to court?
We don't know. According to Shannon's representatives, and I guess through himself, the thought is, well, you tried to get money out of me. you didn't really want to go to court. And then when I didn't give you money, now you're taking it to another level. Mm. So that's where he stands in the situation.
Yeah. All right, let's break. Let's hear from Fred Van Vliet on the other side. Fred had something
bad timing for Fred.
What?
It's bad timing for Fred.
It really is bad timing for Fred. Fred had something to say that was, I don't think. Yeah, you gotta know the room. And Fred, read the room, Fred. It wasn't the best time for you to take a shot. It just, you know what? How about hitting shots? How about this week the Chevron, next week the Insperity? Golf here in the city of Houston is awesome. The Insperity is going on next week at TPC, the Woodlands TPC, a great facility, absolutely free for you to go to. Legends of the Game will be there. It's always a big event on the Saturday, but you got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of some of the best older golfers in the world. They're going to shoot low. They're going to play great. They're names that you know, names that you grew up with. If you haven't gone before and seen them play, you really need to. It is all, they're so good, so good. And the biggest names are going to be here, the biggest names on the Champion Tour. So you're looking for a great way and absolutely free, thanks to Insperity. Insperity is paying for it all. You don't have to pay a dime. Just show up and go. They got shuttles to go. If you've never been to the facility, the price doesn't get any better than absolutely free. Get on out there and watch the Champion Tour at the Insperity at the TPC Woodlands next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right here in the Houston area. Come on, get on out there. Go to InsperityInvitational.com, InsperityInvitational.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Rockets lost the other night. Fred VanVleet, 4 for 18?
Yeah. Ooh, was it that good?
It was 4 for 19?
Yeah, don't take away one of his shots.
4 for 19. Yeah. I don't want to take any shots away from Fred. I think I said that wrong. I want to take a lot of shots away from Fred. Fred was bad. Fred was awful. 4 for 19. He was 2 for 13 from three. 7 assists, 2 turnovers. He was a minus on the court.
Takes care of the ball, though.
Oh, great. Great.
Because if you shoot a shot, it's not a turnover. Even if you miss it.
Yeah, it's not a turnover, but it is. It kind of is.
Well,
because the other team gets the ball because of you.
Not with Steven Adams out there.
4 for 19. That is really, really, really bad. Just over 20% from the field.
So bad it overshadows a 3 for 15 that was in the backcourt with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the two of them together, 7 for 34. Afterwards, Fred was asked, how about that home court advantage, Fred?
Not at all. That was incredible. It's great to have playoff basketball here in Houston. It definitely answered the test. We've been looking for him. We've been looking for him since I got here. But they showed up tonight. You know, unfortunately, we couldn't get the win. But we're an incredible atmosphere. Gotta duplicate that. Do it again on Wednesday.
They showed up tonight. Been waiting. Been looking for him.
No, he didn't take a shot at the crowd that night. I guess maybe it's been quiet the last few games. I don't know.
Well,
I mean, what are you going to answer?
No, that is a shot at the crowd. That absolutely.
Previous.
Well,
iterations previously. Of the crowd. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, not tonight, it's a lot of the same people. Great. Season yeah. ticket holders.
It's just
he said they were great tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
Somebody showed up.
He should have
not
just,
you, but just, somebody showed up.
He should have just said it was a great crowd tonight. Appreciate him. We'll play better for him in game two. He would have been fine, but been looking for him.
Yeah,
unnecessary, particularly when you play as poorly as you did.
Crappy as you were, you're going to take shots at the fans.
Yeah, it's a small thing, but people acknowledged it and saw it. And go, wait a minute, I paid $300 to watch you play the way you played tonight. Yeah. How about you show up for me? That was a lot of the sentiment.
We showed up. Did you, Fred? That was – that's crap. That's a load of crap. I mean, it never goes well when you take on the fans.
Not if you're Fred VanVleet. Overall, really hasn't shot well all year. He's been a point of complaining for a lot of people because of the salary and the way he's shot the basketball. But in your first playoff game in several years, all that excitement, and you're the highest paid player on the team, and you shoot like that, people are going to have a problem with it.
Yeah. This season, 37.8 from the field.
Is his salary higher than his shooting percentage?
37.8 yes. from yes, the it field. Is. 34.5 from three, which is okay. Which is, that you'll take 34.5. It's all right.
It's fine.
But 37.8 from the field. He was bad coming here. 41%. I mean, when he came here, we were like, oh man, 39% from the field, 40% from the field, 38.9 from the field. I mean, this is who he is. It's worse. This was his worst shooting since his rookie year.
Can we get the Dylan Brooks plan for Fred? Dylan Brooks came here and became a better shooter.
Yeah.
What? Same coaches. What's the deal? Dylan Brooks was someone who the Grizzlies couldn't wait to get rid of. Shot the ball too much. Shot it at the most inopportune times and didn't make shots. He comes here and has improved year over year and is now a knockdown shooter. He's around 40% with good volume. On threes taken. Fred, not so much.
Fred averages, how about this year? He averaged 7.7 shots per game, 3-point shots per game. That's too much. It's too much. It's just, stop. 12.7 shots a game. When you're shooting under 38% from the field, that's too much. Just facilitate.
That's my biggest problem with him is he just, I mean, I love the fact that he doesn't let his confidence wane, I guess. Because he is always going to shoot a few.
He's actually
open,
shooting
always.
Less than he did last year.
He is?
Yes. He.
It feels like it's bombs away Fred.
he shot nearly 14 shots last year, 8 threes per game. This year, just under 13 shots this year, 7.7 threes. He's shooting less. He's just shooting worse.
Doesn't it seem like when he's at his worst, he shoots the most shots, or is that just how it seems?
I don't know.
It seems like the worse the game he's having, the more shots he squeezes off.
You're right. He had 19. 19 the other night.
That's hard to get 19 shots off on a team like the Rockets where you've got a multitude of players. No. You had a great game by, you know, Jalen's going to get his shots typically. Alperin was having a game. Like, how do you get 19 shots?
I disagree,
off? That's
Lance.
Almost impossible.
I disagree.
How?
You know what the other team's plan is? Let Fred shoot. So
it would be my
yeah,
everybody else
down and let Fred shoot. And
he's
you know what?
Get hot one of these games.
And then you know what? They'll score 85 points.
Well,
he's going to have a 5-for-8 3-point game. One of these.
He'll
games
have one of those. He'll
have one of these games. He does that.
Well, Fred follows the thinking of one of our greats, Dion Waiters. I'd rather go 0-for-30 than 0-for-9.
Fred, this is...
No, he's from Illinois.
Again, they're doing this, deport Fred to Canada.
Well, John started it yesterday. I'd rather go 0-for-30 than 0-for-9 because you go 0-for-9, that means you stop shooting. That means you lost confidence. Fred follows that model.
Yeah, that's a terrible... The logic behind that is awful.
The next one is going to go in. That's how you think.
Is it going to go in, though?
Well, if it does, at some point one of them is going to go in.
Are we, though? 4-for-19. Goodness gracious. Before that, 5-for-13.
You are trying to give
Before
Fred
that,
more money.
You're
trying to give Fred more money, John. What are you doing?
How about look at his shooting. The game before, 5-for-13. The game before, 1-for-8. The game before, 5-for-9. Nice. 2-for-14. 5-for-9. 1-for-10. 5-for-14. 2-for-12.
13-for-17.
13-for-17.
It's right there.
He had one game
in double
where
digit
he shot
shots,
really
he's terrible.
Well.
And it was what, 5-for-9?
Against Miami back on March 21st, he went 13-for-17.
Yeah.
March 21st.
And
that
he was
2-for-12
the game before and 4-for-15 the game. Or game before was 4-for-15.
See,
the
I told
game
you.
After 2 for 12.
If he's shooting poorly, he shoots more shots.
Yes.
Notice anytime he's close to the 50% mark, he's shooting 10 shots or less.
Well,
let him
Miami,
get the double-digit shots.
At Miami.
That was a month ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Just accept and be ready.
Oh, he had a good game a month ago?
Yeah.
Just be ready. Be ready
for the
Shams bomb where they've extended Fred for 92 over 3. Just be ready.
Wow.
Just be ready for
him. No, not 3. You stop it.
What?
No.
He's getting 2.
Ime loves him. Okay.
2 at 80.
Ime loves him. He doesn't 2 at 80.
Oh, no. And they'll also tell you Fred's record. You know, what was the team's record when Fred wasn't there and when he was there? That's all accurate, but. I mean, do you really feel like Fred is not a replaceable player? I just don't. I just don't think he's an irreplaceable player. I think you can replace Fred.
They may have feelings about him one way or the other, and generally positive, but let him have a stinky series. The playoffs change how people feel about players.
This is what I don't like about this talk. That's true. That's true. But this is – yeah, and that guy can really play in regular season too. This is what bothers me is people say, well, when you didn't have Fred – this is your record. Yeah, but you're not taking into account, so you gotta bring him back. But they don't take into account, well, you subtracted that player and that amount of money, but what happens if you have another player who replaces him for a certain amount of money? Like, you're not factoring in, if you get rid of Fred, you're going to have a replacement on hand. There is money that you free up. You're going to have another player. Whether it's Reed Shepard playing that role and they bring in another shooter, you know, a backcourt shooter, or another point guard, they're going to use Fred's money, maybe not all of it, but they're going to use some of it to bring in another player. So just because you were to get rid of Fred, the argument that, well, the record without Fred, you don't have a replacement-level player for him. You would, if you move on from him, you would have the money to get a replacement.
Yeah, I don't know what their cap situation is, because teams operate above the cap, and you can't always just simply, oh, Fred's 40 goes out, you can bring a $40 million player.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I don't
know. We have to figure out where they are.
It's Kevin Durant. We said it.
Well, maybe.
Well, no, at this series, the worse this series gets for the Rockets, the greater the likelihood they go after Durant.
Yep. The worse the shooting gets.
If they continue to struggle to find points, if they are operating
in
the 80s to 90s and points and losing games that way, yeah. The call for a knockdown established scorer who you can give the ball to and they can just go get theirs, it's going to get loud because there's some promise here. And if you're being held back by your backcourt because they can't knock down shots, people are going to want an answer for that.
Absolutely. I want an answer for it right now. I want an answer for it right now.
Cam Whitmore.
He is the answer.
Okay.
You got to stop, though. That man's not putting Cam Whitmore in for extensive minutes. He may get
just keep losing.
I'd be okay
just
with
keep
him
shooting
crappy. I'd be okay with him getting 4 minutes.
Just one game,
don't
John.
Give up on Jaylen this fast.
Just one game.
Just one game. Why are you giving up on Jaylen?
I ain't giving up on nobody.
Cam's coming in for Jaylen.
Okay, let's take a look at Jaylen versus Golden State.
Oh, here we go.
These are your numbers, Lance.
No, that's true. That's true. Against Golden State, he's not good.
Let's take a look at Jaylen versus Golden State and how well that's going.
Guys, they're already jumping off the boat. Just one game?
I'm not jumping off. I believe in this team.
Jumping off the ship.
I think Jaylen's going to be fine.
Oh, no. I believe in this team, too. But you know what?
It doesn't sound like you believe in Cam Whitmore. You believe in number 7, and that's it.
I don't believe in just number 7. I believe that you should make some adjustments. And if you ain't got nobody that can shoot, you got a guy who can shoot just sitting there. Go use him. Don't just go, well, I don't use him. Why? I mean, Garrett Cole, don't use him. Don't use Garrett Cole.
Cam Whitmore is, for John, is backup quarterback territory right now, where the other guy's got to be better, and then you see why the other guy isn't.
No, listen. It's not backup quarterback. That's a big difference. You got a starter there. If Cam Whitmore plays minutes.
He doesn't play consequential minutes anymore. Your coach, who everyone loves, right? You love Ime. Top 3 coach of the year candidate doesn't want that guy on the floor for consequential minutes for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, then we need a new coach.
There it is.
Okay.
I'm not doing this. Okay. We got the best coach in the league. I would not trade my coach. Ime is my coach. You can have your coach, Silas, if you want.
That's a big extreme.
You went from Ime to Silas?
Well, you liked it so much when Silas was there letting everyone get their Instagram stories in.
Yep, I loved it. I loved watching Rockets basketball.
I'm an Ime guy.
Yeah.
I let the record reflect. I'm an E-May guy.
Oh, the,
tried
if,
and true.
If the comparison
from this day forward
is E-May versus Silas, congratulations on walking out on that thin limb and taking E-May. But there
would have
been
a whole lot cooler. Go ahead. Go ahead.
There are other coaches. I mean, I'm not with John, who wants E-May out of here for some reason. But it's not. It doesn't have to be E-May versus Silas all the time.
How about
did
JV?
You not get your jersey?
Let's
did
get
you not
JV
get your
back.
Granado? Did you get your Granado jersey or not? You're acting like you didn't get M&Ms.
All right.
Didn't you get your M&Ms?
Didn't they give you M&Ms?
They gave me M&Ms. M&Ms ain't
shut your mouth and get on board.
M&Ms ain't a pizza, okay? When M&Ms turn into pizzas, then I'm totally on board.
Thin crust pizzas,
by the way. John's on the grift. Would have been a lot cooler if Fred had missed one more and went 4 of 20 on 420.
Take another shot.
Oh, wow.
That would have been cool, just going 4 for 20.
Isn't that when everybody's stoned?
He didn't shoot like he was high. Yeah.
Yes, that's when everybody's supposed to be stoned.
Everybody's stoned? Maybe Fred was stoned.
Do you think I could make more than
four? Nah, I've seen him all year, unless he's been stoned all year. Does he smoke weed before every game?
He might be an enthusiast.
Does he take an edible before every game?
You don't know.
Well, the NBA's rules are laxed on that. They don't really punish you for weed anymore.
No, they don't test.
I don't believe Fred is doing any substances. I just think he's a poor shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he wasn't. He hasn't been. It's just like he saved it for us. He was never a good shooter inside the arc. Inside the arc was never great for Fred. But this year, it's his lowest field goal percentage, since his rookie season. From a three-point line, it is his second lowest percentage of all time in his career. That's just not good enough. I mean, you've got guys like Jalen Green to take pressure off you. You've got guys like Alperen Şengün to take pressure off of you. You should be – it's his lowest free throw percentage of his career. Listen to this. For those of you who want to give this guy more money, it's his second lowest – it's his lowest field goal percentage since his rookie season where he didn't start. It's his lowest three-point percentage since 2023, but it's his second lowest of all time. It's his lowest free throw percentage. It's 81%, but it's also his lowest free throw percentage he has ever had. His assist-to-turnover ratio got substantially worse this year. 8.1 to 1.7 was last year, which is really good, actually. And it's not terrible right now. I shouldn't. It's 5.6 to 1.5. That's not terrible. It also just happens to be, lower than last year. Like, Fred declined in every single metric from last year with the Rockets.
You started this
he
by
saying... can't be on the hook for more money. What are we doing?
You started this
cannot
by
get more money.
Saying, for all of you who want to give him money, who wants to give him more money?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Who told you that?
Mason.
What? Who cares?
Mason likes Fred VanVleet.
You can't win without Fred VanVleet.
Oh, my.
We can't listen to Brick Zuerlein.
Yeah.
I do think there are Rocket – I've seen Rocket fans who when they were losing with Fred VanVleet, we talked about it on the show. There was some love for Fred VanVleet whenever he was, you were losing without Fred VanVleet. It was hard not to notice it. I think it was also that you don't have a primary ball handler and they were just going through a rough spell. But even if you don't have Fred VanVleet, you're going to get a primary ball handler.
Go sign
it's
Tyus
not like
Jones
you're not
in the offseason. Tyus Jones is available. You can go get him. He's coming off a pretty much minimum deal with the Suns.
We can't be given – Ime has got to be stopped if he thinks that this – needs to be the Fred VanVleet show any further. And I hope Fred plays well. And he will play well at some point in this series and win. But I just he's been so inconsistent this year. The numbers pointed out. He's just not a good shooter.
Well, he better pick it up.
He's got to be a good shooter.
Because we know Jalen ain't.
Well, come on, John.
Look at Golden State. I mean, there's a big enough sample size.
Had a good year, I've been told. He'll be fine.
Okay, let's go. Tomorrow night, we need to see him both step up and play a lot better than they did.
He has historically been a poor – this is his hardest team, Golden State, historically. It's been his worst team. So, really, you can't afford a bad game tomorrow. He's got to have a good game. He's got to, and they have to win. If they don't win, then they're going to be down 0-2 in the series.
Is factual. If they do lose, they will be down 0-2.
Yeah, you hit something there. You're on to something here. If they lose, they're down 0-2. No, here's the deal.
What happened with all
this? If they lose tomorrow night, the series is over.
Yes.
Warriors, come out to play, yeah.
Let's go.
That's been a while since you unearthed that sucker.
No, we did it.
I did it earlier. Last week because it was Warriors Rockets time when that was confirmed.
Yeah. But you didn't do it yesterday.
Well, I mean, why? Why would I do it yesterday? We don't want to taunt them after Sunday. But now, a day removed, we're back. Rockets in six?
Rockets in six. That's what we got.
Which means they'd have to win in Chase Center to close out the Warriors.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's all right.
That's
easy. Easy peasy.
Sure.
Steph is going to give another three-point game.
15 points in the first four games. One of your best ever.
15 points.
In the first four. Man doubled that in game one.
It was a prediction. It was just
a
little
take
off.
Take a shot.
It was
take
a bit
shot.
Off. Maybe I was being a little.
Disrespectful of one of the greatest of all time. Yes, maybe. Amen had you hyped. That's all.
I mean, nobody could stop that dude. He throws stuff up, falling out of bounds over his head.
He shot a 37-footer or something over an Amen contest. It was, God. I don't know what else to say. It was ridiculous on Sunday night.
Yep. They'll slow him down.
He's going to regress back to
being a three-point guy.
Yeah, we'll get the three-point game tomorrow night, yeah.
That's for sure. The three-point guy's coming out, okay? He had his worst ever game against the Rockets. He just like Jalen, only different.
Because the Jalen ones keep going. Steph fixed that in one game.
Steph said, "Whoa, really? That's what happened last game? Watch this game."
Man, did he, like, he came out and it was immediate, like, this is the other Steph.
This is weird. Yeah.
And I'm like, where's Amen? I thought we were locking him down.
I'm hoping he plays golf tomorrow somewhere. Maybe we'll get him out. Let's get him out somewhere.
Yeah. Can you get him out and get him liquored up?
I know
something?
He played.
He'll
yesterday.
Still come out and give you 31.
He played yesterday, Blue Jack.
You know.
Oh, you do know,
oh,
that,
you know
for
that,
fact?
That for a fact?
Yeah, I know that for
okay.
a fact.
Okay. Yeah. Get him out there tomorrow afternoon before the game.
I need, yeah.
Is it hot? Is it humid and hot?
Yes. We need him playing before the game.
Yeah,
Michael,
get out there in that humidity.
Time.
Go. And maybe go run 36. I remember I'd be at Johnny Harris's house when we were young in junior high, and Johnny Harris's dad would go play 36 holes or 54. No, I think he played 36. One time he came in and basically passed out on the ground. He was like, it was in the summer, and he had either played 36 straight or 54. It was some insane amount. Johnny's dad was a monster.
Yeah.
And like he could go play golf that much, and then he just like 36. Have you ever played 36 in a row, John?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
How hard is that physically?
Fun. No, you play it. Yeah, it wears on you.
It's hard.
Hey, there's no question.
Hey, have you ever gone?
Especially if you have a violent sleep.
Have you ever gone to a break on time?
Never.
No, actually, I have not. What's it like?
I do want to go to one right now because I want to talk about Game Day Men's Health, where I'm going today. I'm going on over there. I'm going to go get a checkup. I heard, oh, my God, I heard one of the other testosterone places. They go, well, this month we're going to do free consultations. Like, what? Oh, thank you for this month, free consultations. How about all the time, the free consultations at Game Day Men's Health? They're going to – that is so – I can't believe that they feel like they can get away with that. We're going to charge you $150 to find out whether or not you're going to be a client of ours. What? That's just ridiculous. Game Day Men's Health says, nah, you know, free consultation. We'll find out what kind of shape you are with testosterone. We'll find out what your goals are, how you want to get there, what you're looking for, what you're trying to achieve, and we'll get you there. And that's what they do. And they care about your health. They care. They have professionals that are going to make it a program for you, be it with the testosterone, first of all, the replacement, testosterone replacement, but then the peptides, which will help you gain whatever it is that you want to gain, muscle, loose fat, better, more focused, better at the job, better in bed, better all the way around. Just be better. That's what Game Day Men's Health does. The other guys, not so much. GameDayMen'sHealth.com, GameDayMen'sHealth.com. Tell them you heard right here.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird, very short, because we went a little long, Dell. Did we go a little long?
A little. It's 9:58.
And Anti-Duck Town shoots down a plan for a giant duck statue. Swaffham has been a town at war. Apparently, they have been faced with an invasion of ducks. They've tried to lure them away with an artificial island, hired professional cleaners, and outside shot. They even discussed a cult. Shouldn't they have a giant duck as statue in their town?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
I mean, what's they got ducks all duck over, duck poop all over. If you're going to be a duck town, be a duck town.
Be a duck town. Lean into it.
That's right. I mean, I'm sorry. Do you see that there is apparently there's a TikTok trend for Dubai chocolate? And it's causing an international shortage of pistachios. Man, this looks
good.
What
is the TikTok trend?
Man, oh, man. The TikTok trends, like, rule the world right now. Am I right or am I right?
Oh, yeah. There's no...
There's nothing more powerful than a TikTok trend right now.
Viral trends, like when people were having fist fights and gunfights over Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's like every week there's something new that you have to have because of TikTok or whatever. It's
a chocolate bar stuffed with a creamy TikTok green pistachio filling. Wow. I mean, I kind of...
I thought you weren't a sweets guy.
I'm not a sweets guy, but chocolate and pistachio? Are you kidding me?
What? That's not a magic combination. What is wrong with it? It's Nutella.
It really is.
You ever heard of Nutella? Just get a big tub of it and get a spoon. Yes, it is.
No,
it's not pistachio. It's it's the other one. What is it?
Hazelnut?
Hazelnut, yeah. No. That's the same thing. Hazelnut just throw some pistachios in there. Hazelnut doesn't blow.
Yeah.
Nutella's beautiful. Put a handful of pistachios in some Nutella and just mix it around and eat it with a spoon. I've probably done it.
Have you guys ever seen the Virginia state flag?
Has it changed?
It's like from Roman times, and she is standing, her one foot on the ground and one foot on a guy, on a Roman soldier who's down, but her left breast is exposed.
That doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. And apparently this is, the Virginia state flag has been banned in Texas because of the exposed breast. Do you feel like we should have a flag with an exposed breast?
Oh, we can't handle anything in this state.
So no, not even some woman from, I don't know, pre-Jesus on a state flag. we can't even handle.
No, we can't.
Oh, I mean, my goodness. My gosh. Put away the Roman statues.
Well, and how would they handle French protests now by women?
How are they going to handle watching the WAP video with Cardi B?
No chance.
No,
that.
We don't do that.
Can't
we don't do that.
See
in Texas.
That.
Isn't that illegal in Texas, though, Cardi B video?
I imagine. I'm sure. Maybe not illegal, but
I've seen Megan Thee Stallion doing stuff.
Age verification needs to happen.
No.
Y'all can't even watch Megan Thee Stallion throw out a first pitch without trying.
Well, she was wearing them tight pants.
Did you have a problem with it? Did you want it banned?
No.
Do you want Megan Thee Stallion banned from first pitches?
I did not want her banned. I did not.
Okay.
But people
did.
Let
the record reflect then.
People wanted her banned?
Probably.
Yeah. Sure,
well, probably if they're crying about this.
The Roman goddess Virtus is the one standing over the slain tyrant. And here in Texas... Not allowed.
Not allowed. Nope.
It's
can't have it.
That's not my business. I just don't care.
It's a state flag.
It's
a state flag of Virginia. Why do y'all care?
Pull up your top, woman. Pull up your top.
You mean the goddess Virtus? Show some respect.
The goddess woman. Of who?
The goddess Virtus. V-I-R-T-U-S.
Is that virtue? Possibly. Virtue?
I don't know.
Possibly, yeah.
Then put your breast away.
You're the Italian. You should know.
Then put your breast away if you're going to be virtuous.
You tell us Italian.
Yeah. Oh, your woman can't have her breast out and still be virtuous?
No.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, she looks like a hoe right there. Acting like a hoe.
Wow. Lance, do you regret retweeting the link to the stream?
Yeah, today I do.
I bet.
I should just let it sit there at about 395 watching.
You retweeted now we're over 3,000. You got John acting, well, like John. Calling some random goddess he's never heard of.
Woman, wear a bra.
What did you call her again?
A random goddess.
What'd you call her? Some goddess a hoe? Is that what you did?
Put your breast away, woman. And we're in Texas
knowing
now.
That browser history's a... Okay. That browser history is a
maybe
mess.
Maybe that flew in old Rome, but it ain't flying here. Okay?
How dare she?
Pulling it up out here.
Oh, there it is.
We're too far into Dell's show. Let's wrap it up. Right,
look, this is your show, actually.
At one point, the show started at 10:10. So
all right.
That happened one time.
Well,
recently,
it's
going to
be worse now. All right, that's it. We're done. Mopey and Mapes next, right here on ESPN 97.5
and 92.5. Goodbye.